This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:43 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. It is January 4th, which means it's a time of year when a lot of us are making New Year's resolutions, working on ourselves, getting healthy, the list goes on. But I think after the year that has been, and in the spirit of Kita Jaga Kita, which I think many are hoping to keep going well into 2021, a lot of us may also be thinking about how to help each other out.
Yes. So just to give you a little bit of a nudge along, we thought that every Monday this month, we will bring to you a cause, perhaps, or something that you can lend your energies towards if you feel like one of your resolutions for this year is to perhaps do a little good for the rest of the world. So today, the first thing that we'd like to bring to your attention is the role of soup kitchens and how perhaps you can help out. If you didn't know, you know, soup kitchens play an important part in handing out food, water, and basic necessities. Generally, people think it's for the homeless, but they also do this for the larger urban poor community.
Yeah, so a lot of these kitchens are run by NGOs and volunteers. And so what you find yourselves with is that they are both constantly in need of funding because you need to be able to provide the food, but also manpower because you need to be able to then go and distribute the food. And the MCOs, the RMCO, CMCO, they have affected the running of these soup kitchens. There are fewer volunteers that are able to come and help. People might not feel it's safe. And then you're also seeing the people who need the food, the urban poor community, struggling with a drop in their income, in some cases, a loss of job opportunities as well.
Right. And, you know, poverty is, of course, the root cause for a lot of this. And when you look at just Kuala Lumpur, absolute poverty in KL has risen to 50% of households, with 52% of children actually living below the poverty line. And that's according to a UNICEF report called Families on the Edge. And also, you know, as you said, Lynn, because of the job losses, because of shrinking incomes due to COVID-19, this year has even seen families losing their homes. I'm sure many people will remember the recent reports of that family of five who were found to have been living in their car at the Awan Besar Highway rest stop. And, you know, even though there have been initiatives from the government to provide assistance for these, there are still those who have fallen through the cracks. And that's where NGOs like soup kitchens come in to try and address some of these lacks.
So that's what we wanted to focus on. I mean, if you are interested in helping out in this area, what are some actionable steps, right? Like, what can you actually do to get started? We also want to know, what are your resolutions this year? If you've made them, no pressure. You can call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And right now on the line with us is Datuk Munira Abdul Hamid, who is the founder of Petiwi Soup Kitchen. Munira, thank you so much for joining us. So we've spoken to you before on the show about the work that Petiwi has been doing, along with the challenges that come with feeding the urban poor. Could you maybe talk to us about how last year's circumstances have had an impact?
Well, last year, the thing was we never stopped. You know, even when in January we were slowly adapting to all the SOPs, and then when MCO was imposed on 18th March, we decided to do it slightly differently, which was actually for the homeless and urban poor to collect their meals from a restaurant, because that was what was allowed. So, you know, we couldn't go out and mingle, but at the appropriate times, which we had already informed them beforehand, they could just go and collect the meals. So that worked out well, because after that we had, you know, news coverage as well, and the government also gave us RELA officers to come and supervise the physical distancing. And so the fact that we kept on adapting to what was allowed meant that we did not even miss a single day of looking after the homeless and urban poor. It was just a matter of adapting and making sure that we did not miss out on providing meals for them.
So with our mobility being, you know, so much more restricted, were volunteers able to get involved in this process in the same way that they would have done before the COVID-19 days?
Well, from our volunteers, many of the old regulars still dare not come out, and we would not want to encourage too many volunteers. we have had requests recently from students and corporates. They want to come in big groups. So we've had to say no. We limit the number of volunteers, actually, and then just say, you know, maximum six. And we don't want too many, because even when we're preparing food in the restaurant, we're just using it. It was just by chance. The restaurant also needed a business at the time, and they were still in the same area where we were giving out food before. So it was a win-win thing for both our NGO and the restaurant. So as we continue, as we carry on, we try our best not to have an overcrowding, no, not too many volunteers, because we want to be able to continue to do what we're doing, always having to be mindful of the fact that there should not be too many of us. So I'm glad in a way that many of the old volunteers are just waiting for the right time. And if they want to volunteer, they'll let me know beforehand so that I can limit, again, the number of volunteers per session.
Right. So for people then who are listening right now, who want to get involved, who want to offer help, what do we need to know? And, you know, how can we do this responsibly?
Yes, we are trying to avoid duplication of NGOs providing meals or ad hoc groups providing meals, because any duplication of the same effort would just lead to wastage. And this is a time when we should not be wasting precious resources. So I suggest that the regular NGOs are always there, and they're doing it. It's a matter of knowing which NGO is covering which night and which area. So for them to just say, I don't want to cooperate, I want to do it on my own, means that you're duplicating already the existing efforts. Because our, you know, in Malaysia, really, people are very kind when it comes to food. You know that everybody will rush to get food. So, you know, when I was talking to someone the other day, I said, zero hunger is possible in this country. Well, in the remote areas, perhaps we have to look into it. But in the urban areas, you know, people would just rush to give food. The problem is actually oversupply. So I would suggest that they contact the NGOs that they're most comfortable to work with, whether you give raw materials or additional stuff which is needed, but don't give things which are not needed, because they end up being left on the streets. And sometimes we find food just rotting on the streets. And then if you give something which is not needed, they're just being sold off immediately, and perhaps the money is used for, you know, buying the wrong things. So we must be mindful of that.
So, Datu Munira, if I've made a resolution to do more good this year, what would you recommend I do?
Well, we are, you know, besides giving food, we also give grocery items scheduled. Because, again, we don't want too many people rushing to give grocery items, which will result in people selling off, you know, and doing all sorts of things. We try to remind everyone, let us be sensible. Being sensible is about scheduled, you know, a giveaway of items, whether it is infant formula or diapers or adult diapers or grocery items. We have to be sensible and, you know, don't give things like huge bottles of something or other. They end up really, they're just being sold off at the pasar karat, you know. We have to be sensible about that. And then the other thing that we're concerned about is the children who are not at school. And I think they've missed out altogether, because, you know, what online classes, they don't have access. I don't know how we're going to give them what they've missed out on. That is a real concern. It's actually later on, what are the things we're going to do to help them get out of poverty? Food is just one thing. Okay, fine, they're all right. They've been taken care of. And then we make sure that we provide meals so that whatever little they earn and any other assistance they get from the government, they have to save those to pay for their rental so that they don't become homeless. This is for the urban poor. You know, for the homeless themselves, you know, we try to ask them, what is it? Is it a job that you want? You know, Are you serious about it? It's about changing the mindset as well, and knowing who is really prepared to work. So it's not a matter of just saying, okay, job matching, go and work here, there, and everywhere. It may not be what they want. You know, so you, in order to get to know them, you have to really take time. And it's not second guessing and all that. It's not going to work.
Perhaps you could also share what the SOPs have been like for managing safety during COVID-19, and what has it been like to keep those measures in place?
Yeah, we try to make sure, again, you know, limiting the number of volunteers. And in terms of the beneficiaries, we have to insist, you know, physical distancing, make sure when they're lining up that they're not crowding. And then we make sure that, you know, that we sanitize their hands. And the mask thing, sometimes, my goodness, you know, we have to keep reminding, wear your mask above your nose, you know, not below. You know, it's things like that. It's almost a year and we're still saying the same thing. So, you know, but then what to do if that's the way we have to carry on reminding each other? We just do it. And it's sometimes we worry because, okay, when we are giving out, those are the things that we insist on. But when they are outside after that, they wander off and they sit around and they just huddle again. So, you know, at least they're not living in those that kind of conditions the way we see in some clusters where people are huddled and living in, you know, close proximity. So we're hoping that somehow that we are all safe.
So looking ahead, where should the focus be so that we can offer long-term support for the urban poor community?
We're hoping that government agencies and NGOs can slowly work together and organize programs where we will somehow train them and then so that we find some work which is suitable for them. You know, as you know, you may have heard of all the next looming crisis, which is really a climate crisis, it will be food crisis. So the talk of urban farming is not a joke anymore. It is a serious thing. Let us look at utilizing all the spaces around us. Maybe, you know, corporate, students, everybody have a role to play to make urban farming a reality. It's community gardens, you know. Everyone's doing something. Perhaps that kind of training that we are looking at will be geared, part of it, towards that as well, channeling people to look about, to look into this, because it's about taking care of the community, taking care, even the homeless and poor can take care of us, and we can take care of each other. It's about that. Thinking differently. That community thinking has to be deeper than just the rich giving to the poor.
Dr. Munira, thank you so much for those insights and suggestions. That was Dr. Munira Abdul Hamid, founder of Pertiwi Soup Kitchen, and sharing her thoughts on what we can do and what we can do responsibly to help the urban poor community. We're talking about this because every Monday, we're hoping for the month of January, we are going to be talking about, how do we want to describe this? New Year's resolutions to do good?
I think so, yes. I think if you've made a resolution that is outside of self-improvement and perhaps want to extend that to helping society in some way, I guess just highlighting causes that you might want to consider?
Yeah. Let us know. I mean, is that part of your resolution package this year? Is it part of your list? And in general, what are your resolutions this year, if you've made any? Again, no pressure, just if you wanted to share, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So over to the messages. On this subject, we have Belinda saying, I can bake some cookies once in a while to be distributed with your food packages. A bit of sweetness goes a long way.
Oh, that's very sweet, isn't it? I would urge Belinda or anyone else who was listening to, you know, check out Pratiwi's website. Or, you know, there are many other soup kitchens as well, and they're always looking for people who want to contribute in some way. And I think they'd be able to channel your help accordingly.
We also spoke a little bit earlier during the market wrap about the doing away of the tampon tax in Britain and how on the one hand, it's great. On the other hand, politicians are like, yes, we did it because of Brexit. So we've been asking you for your thoughts and we do have a message.
Yes. So Sarah WhatsApped in to say, but a menstrual cup and reusable pads are more eco-friendly, which is a great point and I think something worth keeping in mind. But again, that idea of tax and so on is something that often plays, because I find that one of the things that prevents people from moving to eco-friendly items is the price.
Yes, even though the reusable factor of it is there,
long-term, so it's cheaper, but short-term, it's a bigger investment.
Yes, I think that there are people in, for example, who are trying to end period poverty in poorer parts of the world who are starting to try to distribute things like menstrual cups to the community. But I think there's also a learning curve that needs to be considered. But either way, it is a great idea. We also have, back to New Year's resolutions, Sylvester saying, I'm going to continue with my efforts in sustainable consumption from food to clothes and stuff, practicing less is more. I'm also applying to go back to university to study. It will be 4 years away from loved ones, but ah well, good things do not come easy.
Oh, that's a lovely resolution. I hope that works out and I hope you do it well.
Let us know, what are your resolutions, if you've made any, you know, and are you planning to, I'm going to borrow Sharmila's phrasing. I think, are you planning to do anything outside of self-improvement, right? Like helping others? You can let us know. Also share your thoughts on the weather because we're still getting messages on that. And we will come back to it after the 6 o'clock news if the DG has not begun his press briefing. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.